The focus for our lesson this morning is taken from the first lesson, from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 7 through 11. God said, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. Son of man, say to this house of Israel, this is what you are saying: our offenses and sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, 'As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel?'" This is the word of the Lord. One day there was a little boy who was told by his mother he could pick out something from the store within reason, anything he wanted. Naturally, the boy gravitated toward the breakable items, and he found a snow globe that had to be his. The snow globe is what he wanted, and his mother warning him that it is breakable. There's a chance that it may not always be around, especially if you drop it. Nevertheless, the boy really wanted this snow globe. And he promised to his mom he would take extra special care of this gift. Well, within 48 hours of having the gift in his possession, you know what happened. And mom heard the crash and she came running to her son to see what had happened. He was crying, of course. He dropped the snow globe. Mom kind of knew what had happened, but she wanted to hear her son's confession. She wanted to hear her son own up to it. And so without yelling or screaming or painful interrogation, she simply asked her son, "Did you break the toy?" With that simple question, the boy put his hands over his ears. He did not want to hear it. He did not want to hear his mistake, even though it was plain as day. The kids don't like to be told they're wrong. And neither do adults. We may not cover our ears with our hands, maybe, when we're being accused of something. But we're pretty good at excusing sin. We're pretty good at justifying our sins. We're pretty good at hiding from any accusation that we might receive. Because we, too, don't want to face the music. But, you know, it's been this way for sinful man and sinful woman for a very long time. In fact, it's maybe part of our sinful DNA where it's mighty difficult for us to own up to it. We look at the very first family, Adam and Eve, and their first two sons, Cain and Abel, struggled with sin. They also didn't want to hear the accusations. They didn't want to receive any consequence or punishment for the sin. So when Adam and Eve ate that forbidden fruit, what did they do? They hide. They hid. Hoping to escape God's interrogation, they hid from God. You know, their sons struggled with sin as well. One day, the older son, Cain, was so jealous of his younger brother, Abel, that he ended up killing him. When God confronted Cain, kind of like that mother just wanting to hear Cain own up to it, what had happened to Abel? Remember Cain's lame reply? "Am I my brother's keeper?" he said. See, throughout history, throughout the centuries, sinful mankind, maybe its innate reaction is to run from sin, to hide it, to make a cover for it from on our own. So we look at Luther's time. Luther saw a group that was gaining popularity during his time, and they were the Antinomians, led by Johannes Agricola. And the antinomians were believed in the antinomian ideal, where namely it's anti-law. They didn't want to hear about the law. They didn't want any law message that would point sin out or address sin. They want nothing to do with it. That sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty pleasing. Yet in Scripture, we see God calling out sin, addressing sin, and not just in ourselves, but in other believers as well. In all three of our Scripture lessons today, we see that God has called Christians, yes, to be our brothers and sisters keeper. We're given this important responsibility to point out sin in other believers' lives. And if we don't do anything to stop it from happening, if you don't speak out to dissuade them from their ways, do you see kind of the strong language we have today in Ezekiel? God says, not only will they die for their sins, but I will hold you accountable for what they did. God was saying this to Ezekiel, a prophet who lived 600 years prior to Jesus. Ezekiel was sent to a spiritually sick nation. It was the divided kingdom at this time. In fact, it was Judah, the southern kingdom. You know, and they had made a habit of staying away from God. And they were doing it for so long, they were away from God. And to show them that there are consequences from turning away from him, well, God gave them into their sins. See what happened. Enemy nation Babylon came and took 10,000 of them from Jerusalem and took them to their homeland in Babylon. And 11 years later, God allowed another enemy come to destroy and completely annihilate Jerusalem. See, now God's people had some time to reflect and think about their enemy. Not Babylon, not Egypt, not their poor leaders, but it's an enemy we deal with still today and struggle with every single day. And that's sin. Did God allow the kingdom of Judah, the nation of Judah, to be attacked as a consequence of their sins? You know, having a city besieged was not an easy thing back in the Bible times, in Ezekiel's day. A lot of these big cities like Jerusalem would have big, thick walls that would protect them. And at the highest point of the walls, you would have someone designated as a watchman who would look out and survey the land, making sure there weren't any enemies coming near them. And if there were enemies, well, they would sound the alarms. The people living outside the walls, the ranchers and farmers, come inside immediately because we're closing the city walls. And Ezekiel was called by God to be a spiritual watchman, to look out for spiritual enemies, to ensure the spiritual health and safety of God's people. And you know what Jesus said in our gospel lesson from Matthew 18? He gives you that responsibility and me, all Christians, to be spiritual watchmen and watchwomen. Talk about a difficult task. It means if there's anyone in your life doing something that is contrary to God's will, then God lays down one of the most difficult, sensitive, and maybe important parts of being a Christian friend. He expects us to step in. He expects us to say something. This is why he's given us the keys. Not keys to a new Cadillac, but the teaching of the keys, meaning that we can forgive or not forgive people, whether they're looking for forgiveness or not looking for forgiveness. We are given this major responsibility. Listen to God again, talking to Ezekiel. He said, "Son of man, I've made you watchmen for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you will surely die,' and you do not speak out to dissuade him from his ways, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man to turn from his ways, and he does not do so, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself." I said, yeah, speaking up for God can have some real serious consequences, though. You know, there are a lot of reasons why maybe we don't want to speak up and step in. So maybe we don't want to be in that position ourselves if the shoe is on the other foot. Perhaps we're afraid of being berated, yelled at. Or maybe they list off all of our sins and say we're one to judge or we're one to pinpoint sin. You know, there are a lot of reasons why we would just rather say nothing, but the reason why God doesn't want you to say nothing is because we're told here today. He says it at the end of this difficult section here in Ezekiel that God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He doesn't want to see people throw away the free salvation he offers everyone through the death of his son. God wants you to speak up. He wants you to step in. And yeah, people may tell you, stay out of my life, stay out of my business, butt out. Just know at that time, when they tell you to stay out of their life, they told that to God long before they said that to you. You know, and what is God supposed to do? If after a lifetime of giving someone life, breath, energy, food, clothing, shelter, sunshine, and rain, and if after a lifetime of giving these people good things and they still say, God, butt out, stay out of my life, don't tell me how I should be, who I should worship or follow. Well, after this lifetime, what is God supposed to do? You know what he's going to do? He's going to give them exactly what they want. A life without him, he'll leave them alone. Of course, we're talking about in hell. Very real place, very dangerous place. And this is why it's so comforting to hear today in God's word. He does not delight in the death of anyone. God wants all people to be saved. And so we need to be on alert. We need to be on guard against the temptations of the flesh, the world, from the devil. Because there are times, too, where we may say to God, you know what? Just stay out of my life here. Stay out of my business when it comes to me hanging out with my friends. When it comes to us drinking or us using foul language. God, stay out of my life when it comes to my choice of entertainment online or on TV. Stay out of my life when it comes to me raising my children or when it comes to me spending my money. We may say, God, leave me alone. When it comes to the office of the keys, when it comes to my responsibility of being a fellow brother and sister in the faith, cut me some slack. Because that's a hard thing to do. It's a painful thing to do, to put ourselves in a situation like that. And we need proper motivation maybe to do such a thing like that. Right? It takes a great deal of love and compassion for someone to willingly put ourselves in a painful situation to benefit that other person. So we need some powerful motivation to do that sort of thing. And there is no greater motivation for sharing law and gospel with people, for sharing the message of sin and grace with God's people. There is no greater motivation than Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who laid down his life for you. Jesus Christ, who received nail marks and whip marks on his back for you, who laid out on a cross and died there for you. He knows a thing or two about what it's like to put yourself in a painful situation to benefit others. But you know why he did it. One was obedience to God's will. This is what God wanted. He wanted all people to be saved. And two, he did it out of love for you. The Bible says this is love. Not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to us. God doesn't delight in the death of anyone, and neither do we. This is our motivation. You know, there was a middle-aged man whose dad was slowly dying. And this was very troubling for this man. He hadn't really experienced much death in his life. As his father's life was ebbing away, memories started flooding to his head. Where he hurt his father, he offended his father, all the mistakes came rushing to his memory. So later that day, he knelt down by his dad and asked for his forgiveness for all the times he had disappointed him. And his dad looked over at him with dim eyes and said to him, "I don't remember you doing anything wrong." You know, this surprised the middle-aged man. He was expecting some sort of reconciliation, but he didn't expect the full measure of forgiveness, where his father overlooked his son's wrongs because the love for his son blinded him to everything. You know what the Bible says about your father? Your loving father, your heavenly father. It says in the Bible that he too has forgiven your wickedness and remembers your sins no more. He makes that effort not to remember those sins anymore. This is what amazing grace is all about. God has pity for us, compassion for us. He has mercy on us. And I wonder for those who live for themselves and this world, who live in sin, I wonder if they realize there's a God ready to forgive. Perhaps why some people are caught up in a lifestyle of sin is they don't realize there's a sure forgiveness waiting for them in God. So guilt is a heavy burden. Ezekiel's audience had it. "Our offenses and sins weigh us down," they said. "We're wasting away because of them." Adam and Eve went hiding when they realized they had sinned. But you know what else they didn't realize at that point when they were hiding from God? That there is a way to sin and still be at peace with God. See, they didn't know that at that point, but we do. And it's quite simple. It's confessing sin, leaving sin, and trusting in the forgiveness of sins. Now, there was a Christian doctor in Scotland who had a godly habit of forgiving the debt of his patients. His patients were poor. Oftentimes, they couldn't afford the full fee or the fee at all. And so this doctor in red ink would write in their file the words "forgiven." As he died, executors went through his information, his billing and such, and they saw a lot of red ink with the word "forgiven" throughout the pages. And they calculated how much this doctor would be owed if he would collect on it for his estate. They said the amount of money that was owed to this doctor, that this doctor forgave, in their minds, they said there's no way they would be able to receive that amount through legal proceedings or by a judge. That forgiveness, though, still does not even come close to the forgiveness you have in God. The Bible is pretty clear. As far as the heavens are above the earth, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed your sins from you. This is how great God's forgiveness is. It goes on and on forever. That means our sins cannot separate us from God. The only thing that can is our impenitence, simply failing to repent, simply failing to own up to sin and trust in the forgiveness of sins. God doesn't want to see that happen, of course. He went through so much pain and turmoil to ensure our salvation. He doesn't want us to see us throw it away. This is why you have a lot of passages in the Bible that encourage us and cheer us on to repent. Like Jesus says, those angels in heaven are rejoicing and cheering you on when you repent. And God gives us some encouragement today too, telling us he doesn't take pleasure in the death of anyone. This is the truth, that God so loved you that he sent his son, and that whoever believes in him will live. We have forgiveness, and now we have that responsibility to apply that to other Christians. Amen.